This is Bootstrapped Web, episode 104. We're back with another updates episode. Jordan, how's it going, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Brian?
Doing well. As I said a couple weeks ago, back in Connecticut now. We're settling back down. We're fully settling back down. We're actually in the process of buying a house around here and looking like we're going to be living in Orange, Connecticut, which is kind of the same area that I've been in, but a little bit farther away from New York City. Now we're closer to New Haven. Still near the water in Connecticut, so excited about that.
Nice, man. It is a funny coincidence how yours and I
the number of coincidences
and moved around and snaked back around. And yeah, so, right now you're staying at a house very close to where I used to live.
I mean, the number of coincidences with you and me is ridiculous. For those who don't know the backstory here, you and I met through Mixergy.
Through our friend Javier in Spain through Mixergy.
Yeah, and so there was a post on Mixergy to form a mastermind group. You and I both joined that. And then in like the first week of that, you were like, hey, you're in Connecticut. And it turns out we're in like neighboring towns. One town over, 5 minutes away, and then we met up for coffee. So that was a couple of years ago.
We met up for coffee, and then I started traveling like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. we live right here, but we're leaving.
Yep.
I mean, going back, you and me both grew up in Long Island, New York, only like 10 minutes away from each other. Obviously, we didn't know each other back then, but yeah, it's just crazy coincidences. Yeah.
Now you're back, and I am far, far away on the West Coast.
Yep. Cool.
Cool. So, we're coming back there in a few months over the summer. We gotta take the baby on tour, you know?
Yep.
We gotta hit up all the old friends and family and all that.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have to hang.
Cool, man. So what can I tell you? This month is stressful. This is stress month.
Isn't that every month?
It ebbs and flows, right? There's a natural cycle. You know, sometimes it's intraday, sometimes it's intra-week, sometimes month.
So the big thing is you guys are building up to a product launch.
We're building up to a product launch, a very strange product launch, because we can't make it public, which is, you know, the opposite of what I would recommend anyone do for a product launch. Get a list as soon as possible, get screenshots up, build an email list so you have people to launch to. And we can't do any of that stuff because we're working on something that the company who we're building an integration for the product, they have not announced that the integration is possible. And so we have to wait until the announcement. So it's this very strange product launch where we can't really tell anyone anything. We don't want our competitors to know. We don't want anyone to know. So it's just this very strange thing. It's like doing a product launch in the dark, which is, it's stupid. It's just, we don't have a choice.
And I know the backstory here. I won't give anything away here, but it's, I think you are making the smart right decision there. And I agree, like almost all the time I would just tell people, you know, launch in public, build an early access list, talk about it, talk to customers. In this case, you're in a kind of a unique situation where it's the smart play to kind of keep it quiet.
Yep. So yeah, so we're dealing with that and the strains that that's putting on a three-person company while we're, you know, the train is rolling down the track right now. Things are moving and we're growing. We had our biggest month ever in MRR growth in February, which was fantastic. At the same time, as we start focusing on this new product, our pipeline is not as strong for next month. And so, you know, once you get the MRR growth in 1 month, you don't want it to slow down the next month, but I think it will. At the same time, I'm a little worried about some churn that's heading our way over the next month. And then, you know, the kicker is that we're having a baby any day. So not knowing when that's going to happen and when that will rightfully interrupt work, because work will be demoted on the priority list for at least a few days, makes for an interesting... I think the source of the stress, though, is the unknown. That's really it. Everything else is what we're used to, juggling a lot of things at once and not knowing this or that. But it's the unknown of what will happen with this product. Did we make the right decision splitting our attention? You know, it's a dangerous thing. We don't have that much runway. And so it was a risky decision to split our attention. And I just want to see it pay off.
Yeah. So as you gear up for the launch, you know, you're just a couple weeks away. So, you know, there must be a lot of issues and bugs and features to build and planning marketing and the launch of all this. So how much would you say this is like taking away your focus from the core Carthook product? Like, is any momentum suffering due to the launch of this new product?
Well, we've tried to mitigate that we took some advice from a few advisors and investors on kind of how to approach this, right? This is before we decided to pursue this, we wanted to tell our investors as soon as possible, right? You don't want to spring this on people like, oh, by the way, we're about to launch a new product and we've been, you know, working on stuff that we haven't told. It just didn't make sense. So we let everyone know, and then everyone was very enthusiastic, which was very helpful. And then we got some good advice from some investors who are in the game. So not just passive investors, but people who actively run software companies. And the advice they gave us, which we took, was get things in order, but don't start spending a ton of time on it because it's unknown. And so what we've set up is basically a sprint at the end. So we did a bunch of work for a few weeks to make sure that all of our assumptions were in order. Is this really possible? Let's think all the way through so that we're not spending time on something that is pointless. And then as we got that, we built up the relationship with the larger platform, all that. Once we knew that, we basically put it aside. And now that it's March and this thing launches in the third week of March, now is the sprint. That way we avoided the, if you kind of let it, it will just take over as much time as we give it.
But are there any like technical unknowns? When you say like sprint leading up to a pretty hard launch date in the calendar. And I think you mentioned like there's some sort of event that this is lining up with that you can't just delay the launch if you wanted to. It has to happen.
We can, but that would defeat like the purpose of our position, right? That the whole advantage is that we are one of the first people to know that this is possible, and so to take advantage of it.
Yeah, like did you guys work on any early prototypes that basically gave you confirmation? Like, yes, we know that we can build this technically, and we'll just hustle our asses off in the final week to do it.
Yes, that was the first thing we did. First thing we did was okay. This would be great and valuable. Let's just throw something together. And that's how the whole thing started. We built it for ourselves, like in our own demo store. And then we showed it to other people and people were like, take my money. And that's what kind of got us on the, okay, let's figure out a way to make this work.
Cool. And so I guess in that sense, it's not even completely stealth mode. You did show it to potential customers.
We showed screenshots to a few people. The difficulty is in like the back end and the admin and the settings, we don't have any feedback. So that's the strange part. So our plan is to get the prototype out to people next week and then get some initial feedback. But it is one of these things where it's the most important, most valuable features will be there. And we know that the first few weeks after launch are going to be a mess of filtering through feature requests and deciding on which ones to pursue or not. But it's not going to be like a, no, that's against our opinion, so we're not going to pursue that. We understand there's no way we could have gotten it right being in stealth, so we'll be ready to adjust.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. What's new on your end?
Let's see. One thing, I think I mentioned this real briefly on the previous episode, but I'm looking to hire... this is kind of a new role that I'm looking to bring on to the audience ops team. Maybe I'll just talk a bit more about it now. I'm calling it marketing tech. That's the name of this role that this person will do. If you're interested in learning about this, or if you think it's you can apply at audienceops.com/jobs. You'll find the job listing there. I want to find somebody to handle a bunch of technical tasks related to running marketing campaigns. So specifically running PPC campaigns, Facebook ads, retargeting ads, working a lot with drip and creating workflows, you know, email automation workflows, email campaigns, tagging strategies, landing pages, funnels, all this kind of technical work that's like the glue within a content marketing strategy. So obviously, Audience Ops, we're a content marketing company, and we've been implementing a pretty specific content marketing plan for all of our clients. you know, weekly blogging strategy, sending email newsletters. We do an email course with a pitch, and we've got a bit of automation that we do. I'm looking to add a paid traffic component to this, and we're going to start by doing this for ourselves, just for our service and also for our plugins. But eventually, we're going to build a specific strategy around running like promoted posts on Facebook and then retargeting ads to bring people who've read an article, bring them back to opt in for the content upgrade, which we've been doing. So, you know, strategies like that. I want to put together a kind of an optional upsell to have us manage some paid ad campaigns. And that's what this role will be. Like, this person is going to kind of spearhead that. This is kind of a new role for me to hire for and develop as the position. But I think it's interesting. I have an idea about how all these things work. And obviously, I've run these kind of campaigns before myself. But I'm looking for somebody to kind of take over and take it to the next step. And I'll just kind of give some input and strategy and ideas. So looking to do that.
I love that. I think that's the next step in the value you provide, right? It's like, and you guys do now that we're working together, I'm seeing what you do, and the promotion, the free promotion is one step. And then that exactly what you mentioned, that promoting to Facebook and then building up a retargeting list and then showing ads, it's just one more step. And it makes sense for you guys to control it. Right now we pay someone who runs our Facebook ads to do exactly that. They literally take your posts and put it on Facebook and promote it and then do retargeting.
Yeah, and we have several clients who do the same exact thing. And like we've already been providing like the artwork for the Facebook posts and that kind of stuff, and you know, our clients can use that. But yeah, I mean, I think that is a piece that really makes sense to you know, boost traffic and conversions and that kind of stuff. I mean, we don't really advertise this too much, but a main part of our service is actually setting up the email account. Like most of our clients use Drip, so we'll set up a whole Drip account. If you're migrating to Drip, we'll set you up and set up the tagging strategy and the workflows and the automation and bring subscribers through a sequence and all this stuff. And up until now, that task has basically been falling to me to do. Our assistants do set up campaigns and they set up the newsletters in Drip, but I set up the more strategic automation rules and the workflows. And I think this will also be part of this person's job, is to implement these, but also develop our standard process for doing it.
Right. You know, what it makes me think of the predictable revenue split of functions between prospecting and closing. You know, because I have a really hard, what you're mentioning right now, I try to do both sides. And it is very difficult to get done. Because there's another component to all that. It's the content. It's the writing, what goes into the email. And then there's an entirely other half of setting it up, the tagging strategy, connecting the landing page with Drip, all these different things. And to do both, it's a little exhausting. You can see how it could make sense to split those up and get good at one or the other. Like, sometimes I can't decide which one I like or which one I hate more. But doing both is really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the more I learn about, or I guess maybe just the more experienced I am with building businesses, especially the second one now, it's like I'm just trying to delegate more and more. Even things that I know pretty well, I want to start to remove myself from them and only give input from a strategic level. But I'm even starting to let people on the team develop some of the strategy and the direction as well, and I'm kind of giving my input.
Right, once they get better at it than you are.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think PPC for me is definitely one of those areas where I've tinkered with it multiple times over the years, and I've just never really felt strong enough that I'm not a PPC expert by any means. And I'm not even necessarily looking to hire someone who has years of experience and knows PPC inside and out. But if it's something that you're drawn to and you feel pretty good about it and you want to learn a lot more about it, I think this is a really good opportunity to get your hands dirty and not just play around with it, but actually use it in real campaigns and drive real results. So I think it'll be cool.
Nice, man. I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a couple other updates. Do you want to go back to you?
I was going to bring up MicroConf.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just submitted, both of us submitted our talks. Last year, I think I beat you by one vote. And that bragging ends.
Yeah. Now. Well, thanks to Nathan Barry for throwing his hat in the ring. So,
you know, I think rightfully so, Nathan will get the most votes, because I want to hear that story, just like everyone else going to MicroConf wants to hear that story and what happened. If you know, they're one of those companies that have their numbers on Baremetrics, and we go there regularly. And so Ben and I will just send each other screenshots of Baremetrics, like over the past 60 days, you know, like added 42,000 in MRR over 60, things like that. So the numbers are just kind of eye popping. And I think that story is going to be awesome. But enough about Nathan. You are in great position and I am in like ninth place, which I think goes right under the voting.
No,
I
think
the
it's 12.
12? I thought it was 8 for some
You're
reason.
You're in, buddy. You're not escaping now. So.
All right, let's do it.
You were saying, like, I hope I just don't make it this year or something. But I think you should make it because you do have a really good topic talking about integrations, right?
I think I went a little niche on the topic, which I think is good. I think that's the most valuable thing that I can talk about.
Yeah, but you know, we were talking about this before the call. I like your topic because you're the only one talking about integrations in the whole list, I'm pretty sure.
Nathan, I think, is going to talk about some other stuff, but I wonder how much he's going to focus on integrations, right? Because his growth has come from integrations and like influencers, from what I understand, from what he's written.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think he's done some sales stuff too.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But yeah, you're doing integrations, but we were talking about, and I'm completely guilty of this, but, like at least half the topics in the list for MicroConf use the same exact formula. You know, how I went from zero to X dollars MRR in X number of months, you know, like everybody uses that headline formula, and you know what? It works. So
you know. I think it works for a reason. That's, you know, we want to find the standouts in our crowd, and the numbers are the underlying, you know, factor in whether you've done something that is sufficiently interesting to hear about on stage.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people are kind of qualifying it with, like, I did mine like zero to, 30K MRR with a productized service. Right. So everybody's got a different angle on how you got there and what you did. And so I think that'll be interesting.
What are you going to talk about? Right. If it's 12 minutes,
so
you
yeah,
really I've, can't I've talk got, about everything.
I've got nothing prepared yet. So,
okay. I think this is what I made it a little easier. I was going to talk about fund strapping, like basically going from a bootstrap company to raising some money. And I thought that was just going to be me talking about myself for 12 minutes, which sucks. Maybe it's cool for me, but it doesn't give anything. That's why I went with the integrations. At least I can talk about, like, here's a strategy we use and how we use it.
I think attendee talks, maybe I talked about this before, but attendee talks are different than full length talks, not just because of the length issue. Yes, they're only 12 minutes, but I think attendee talks are cool because it's supposed to be like, hey, look what I built.
Yeah, tell me what worked.
Right.
Show me how you did it.
It's just show us a really quick and focused case study. It's not necessarily like a whole presentation. Yes, there's some teaching to it, and you do have to create some sort of presentation for it, but
right. It's limited narrative.
Yeah, and it's. And I think for the most part, the attendee talks are folks who most of us have not met yet. So it's our opportunity to see, like, oh, what are these guys working on? You know, that's what I love about the format. So, I mean, for mine, I'll probably just boil it down to something like 5 lessons learned. The story about audience apps, as I'm sure most of you know from listening to this podcast, is just the speed of it. Like, it all happened in about 9 months, and it's continuing on now. And so, yeah, there are definitely some lessons learned. And what I want to try to do is find some tidbits that I haven't really talked about anywhere, including this podcast, and try to share them only in MicroConf. I think that'll be kind of cool. There's definitely some stuff that I haven't totally been completely open about yet.
I'd also like to hear about why you think it worked.
You know?
It's
I could talk all day about
right,
product
right,
and
right.
services and all that, but yeah. Cool. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to another year in Vegas. So it should be fun.
Different hotel this time too.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Catching up with old faces.
No more Tropicana, which look,
I'm happy.
I think it's going to be a better hotel experience, but I love the Tropicana just because one of my buddies in college owned the Tropicana, which is weird.
It's really out of the way. Actually, I think the Palms is out of the way too, but I mean, it doesn't matter. We don't leave the building. So cool.
What else, man?
So the other thing that's happening in audience ops, I'm trying to make this happen. It's been a bit delayed just because so many other things have been going on, but I'm looking to launch our second WordPress plugin very soon. It's called our Landing Pages plugin, and that is a plugin that helps you build a landing page. The plugin is built. I've actually already been using it on my own site. If you've seen, actually, where is it? I'm promoting my Productize Crash Course using this plugin, and that's at productizecourse.com. If you want to just take a look at what the landing page looks like,
I want to take a look.
Yeah. So
what is it?
Productizecourse.com.
So why landing page plugin? There are a million ways.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. I mean, obviously a lot of people like to use lead pages or Unbounce and that kind of stuff. And those are good solutions. Of course, those are a SaaS and this is a WordPress plugin. So there's a cost savings there. But the real reason is because whenever I've ever wanted to create a landing page, I always end up hacking apart whatever WordPress theme I'm currently using for that site. You know, because most WordPress themes don't come built in with a stripped down landing page template. If you're a web designer, you have to like strip out the navigation. You've got to set up the headlines and the opt-in form and all this stuff to really optimize a landing page template. And what this plugin does is it allows you to create an optimized landing page no matter which WordPress theme you're currently using. You can just activate this and then just create landing pages. It's got, you know, some color customization options. You can customize, obviously, all the text and the headlines. It's got a couple of opt-in forms. It like our content upgrades plugin, currently it integrates directly with Drip and MailChimp. We're currently working on Infusionsoft integrations. We're working on ConvertKit integrations for both of those, probably a couple others down the road. And if you're not using those, you can export to a CSV. But yeah, I mean, that's the idea. It's so like the reason that we're creating it from Audience Ops is like what we're going to be using it for is to help our clients promote their email courses. So email courses are something that we've been creating for our clients since the beginning. You know, like an educational crash course, just like my productized crash course. We basically do the same thing for our clients, which it's like an educational course leads into a pitch for the product. And then after that, they just get dropped into the weekly newsletter. You can promote that using like the Drip pop-up, which a lot of people do. And it's great. But you know, sometimes you want an additional dedicated landing page to point people to, whether it's traffic, retargeting ads to bring them back to the site, specifically to opt in on the landing page. There are different features that we're building into it. So like you could even like launch the landing page inside a pop-up, in like a really big pop-up. We're not going to be using an iframe, but kind of like that, where we're loading what is normally a full landing page in a big pop-up. So you can launch that from like a widget or a link.
Like Lead Pages has that function where I guess for them it's just the opt-in form pops up.
Yeah, this will be like a bigger thing. And that's just like another way to view the same landing page. Or you can go to a dedicated landing page, which, you know, it also have a thank you page built into it. You can put conversion tracking scripts on it. In a later version, we'll add like A/B testing to it. So yeah, it's just a kind of an easier way and a faster way to get a clean, optimized landing page up and running on your site without having to like tinker around with your theme or even lead pages I've used many times before. You're still tinkering around with it and trying to design it. And there's so many different designs and customization options. This is pretty light on the customization options. You can customize all the colors and you can customize all the text. And since it's a plugin that lives on your site, by default, it'll just use your existing styles, like your fonts. And so you can, you know, you can put your branding in there and everything. So I just think that it's an easier way to launch, you know, multiple landing pages across your site. So right now I'm pushing to get the final finishing touches on this over the next 2 weeks. My goal by the end of March is to start using it on our client sites. As I said, I'm currently only using it on my own site, but in about 2-3 weeks we'll start implementing it on our client sites, and then probably aiming for mid-April we'll be doing a public launch. I'll probably do a webinar to launch that for people to start using publicly. But yeah, like big picture, you know, this is part of a bigger picture strategy for Audience Ops, where, you know, we've been growing the service side of the business, but I also want to this year grow the software side, where we're starting with a couple of plugins and we're going to try to grow that and, you know, put some marketing power behind those and see where those kind of evolve to. So, you know, content marketing service, content marketing tools. And then the other piece, which I haven't really started yet, is building an educational product about doing content marketing. So that's the master plan.
I like it. You got a lot of work ahead of you, but it all kind of makes sense, all gels together into the same audience, same customer base.
Yep.
Nice, man.
So yeah, what else is on your end?
That's pretty much it, man. Besides going to the gym for the first time in like 2 years. Maybe want to puke and my hamstrings feel like they're not part of my body. But that's good.
Yep. Fun stuff, man. I mean, the only other quick update I had is, you know, as I said, the service side of the business, the done-for-you productized service just keeps growing. I mean, we signed 3 new clients this week, and it's only Wednesday. So it's growing pretty fast. Leads are coming in and sales calls just get easier and easier, I think. And you know, I'm still working on, well, what I've started doing is bringing on our salesperson, and I'm currently training him. So like every Friday we're having a call where we're talking through some stuff, and he's listening to my recorded sales calls so he can learn that way. Again, by the end of March, my goal is to start having him take on some sales calls himself. But we're not quite there yet. You know, I'm still kind of in a training phase.
Are you considering raising prices?
That will be happening.
Right. If the sales are coming too easy, that might be an indicator of price insensitivity.
That's a good question. It's going to happen. I was thinking that I would wait until we launch our educational product, which will be later in the year. Because that product is going to be the lower end option, and then have the higher end be the done for you service.
Okay. There's something for everyone that you talk to has an opportunity to buy. So budget won't be the idea.
Yeah. I mean, even at the current prices, you know, we've been profitable the whole way through, and it continues like the model. I've been really happy with this so far, even as we're growing so fast and scaling up the team, which obviously the costs keep going up. It remains at the same profitability level, and that hasn't really changed. So
yeah, that was one of the big unknowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great to hear.
So that's cool, man. That's where we're at. That's the update.
Solid.
All right. Talk again soon.
Yeah. All right, man. Take it easy over there.
All right.
See you, Brian.